Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Dan Wallin, a buddy, a truly great guy. He founded Wallin Consulting, which provides consulting and training services on web technologies. He has published over 10 developer courses on Pluralsight and Udemy, including a new Docker for web development course. Dan is a Docker captain, a Google GDE, a Microsoft MVP and regional director, and he speaks at conferences and user groups around the world. Dan has written several books on web technologies, hundreds of technical articles, and blog posts at codewithdan.com, and he runs the Web Weekly newsletter. You can follow Dan at Dan Wallin on Twitter. All right, with all that introduction, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, we're going to have to figure out a shorter way to get things kicked off.
Well, I like it. And now, being a Google GDE, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was exciting. I'll have to admit, it was cool. You know, I've been fortunate to be part of the Microsoft MVP program for many, many years now, getting old, I guess. So that was a new thing, the Google GDE one, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
And just say what it stands for while we're talking.
Yeah, it's a Google Developer Expert, GDE.
Very cool. And a Docker captain. So at some point we should talk about Docker. But really today I wanted to focus on TypeScript, and TypeScript specifically in the context of Angular.
Sure.
But also TypeScript just as what it is, why it's cool, and how to approach it. So that's kind of my agenda for today. But let's focus on TypeScript, and maybe you can give us just a general introduction to what it is and why it is.
Yeah, so what it is, it's party line here, and then we'll go more into it. But yeah, TypeScript is a superset of JavaScript. So in a nutshell, what that means is, and this is one of my favorite features, I can take your code, Jesse, and what by your code, I mean your, say, ES5 code, regular, just plain old JavaScript code, and plug that into a TypeScript file. It's normally a .ts extension, and transpile that or compile that, which in that case wouldn't do much, right? Because it's already ES5, and what TypeScript does is it takes JavaScript and it compiles it to JavaScript. But in the case of ES5 to ES5, we're not probably gaining a lot there. But as we talk about types and some of the other features it has, you'll see that even doing something as simple as that in larger scale apps could actually help you catch errors, which is pretty cool. So the short, again, speech, I guess you could give about TypeScript is a superset of JavaScript, but it also ties in, of course, when I say JavaScript, not just ES5 capabilities, but also the latest and greatest ES6 or ES2015 capabilities. So things like classes are now available. There's new module support, destructuring, and we can go on and on and on there. But, and then it even has some new stuff that's still not officially even out, ES7 or ES2016. Support is in there as well, and that's used in Angular 2. So really, it's a way to, now that I've given you the kind of party line, let me give you why I really like it. I like, number one, that I can take your code and just plug it in and not have to rewrite anything. And the reason I like to emphasize that is, you know, there's a lot of languages like CoffeeScript, for instance, that can generate JavaScript, but CoffeeScript and some others, they're their own language. You can't just take regular JavaScript and just natively plug it in and it just works. You can make it happen with some little tweaks, but not the way TypeScript does. So one of my favorite features is, number one, it's really easy to move to this. And then you can start leveraging these other things we can talk about. But what's really cool about TypeScript and where the name comes from is, yeah, it's a superset of JavaScript, but it also adds additional features like type support. So we have support for things like number, you know, the basics, number, and you can mark it as a string or an array, things like that. But then you can also create custom types as well. And where this is important and where I really love this, you know, functionality is that now if, you know, you're passing me, say, 4 or 5 parameters and you accidentally should have passed a number and, you know, you passed a string or some, or vice versa, then the TypeScript compiler can actually catch those errors up front. Whereas, you know, the good old days of JavaScript, I got started with LiveScript back in, gosh, that was probably like 95 or something like that. And, you know, ever since then with JavaScript, the only way you can tell if you screwed up is pretty much run it. And so anyway, we can talk more, but that's kind of a quick.
Well, no, let's start with that, because for me, there are a couple of key features, and I actually would like to go through all the major features, but let's start with the fact that it's strongly typed.
Yep.
Because strong typing has a number of advantages. It allows the IDE to give you a great deal more information. And most important, as far as I'm concerned, many of your bugs are turned from runtime bugs into compile time bugs.
Yes.
Which is, you know, extremely important in terms of creating reliable code.
Absolutely. And you know, I have several people, and as we do our training classes and things like that, where they've only done languages that are scripted. And so they really haven't worked with strong types before. And it's kind of one of those things, I think, sometimes, you know, when I've learned new things, and, you know, you've been doing this for years and years and years too, that sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. And so if someone's coming from a background of, oh, I don't need types, you know, and, you know, I'd argue I'm sure there's plenty of use cases where we can think of that. In my opinion, not that many. I love them like you do. But yeah, exactly what you just said. Instead of waiting until I actually run it, I can be notified right up front as I save a file, first off. So whether you're using, you know, gulp or grunt to do this, or you could use npm to automate this build process we're talking about, or if you have Visual Studio, the full version, it just does it right when you save natively. You know, you'll know right up front. And then you also hit the second big point is, now that things are typed, you know, let's take a simple thing, Jesse, that we've all done. How many times have you renamed a variable using global search and replace? And, you know, everybody does, right? And how many times have you screwed that up doing global search and replace? Because you didn't realize.
Almost every time, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, especially if it's a bigger code base, because you didn't realize that, I don't know, I guess, you know, that variable name was a subset of some other variable that used that, and you weren't as careful with your rename. Well, with type support, can be very specific about, hey, I'm only going to be touching things that are strings or a custom type or a number or whatever it may be. So yeah, those are two really important features I think you pointed out.
So let's go on and I mean, we want to discuss TypeScript in a more general way, but I think it would be helpful to go through some of the major features. You mentioned, for example, that it supports classes.
Uh-huh.
Can you give me an example or a sense of how that compares with a object-oriented language like C#?
Yeah, it's surprisingly similar. Under the covers, it's very different when it comes to things like, in the object-oriented world, we would call it inheritance. In JavaScript, it's still prototyping. So yeah, you can do, there's a new extends keyword. It's not even TypeScript. Classes are supported by TypeScript, but that's a ES6 feature. And so you can actually write a class. So just to set some context, the object-oriented folks, they'll get that because that's what we do. But if you're coming from a non-object-oriented background, the beauty of classes, if you've ever done an immediately invoked function expression where you have those kind of empty function wrappers that you put to pull things out of the global scope in JavaScript, well, classes can basically do that same type of thing for you. So it's kind of nice. And it's optional. I want to emphasize it's optional. I had a chance to sit down with Anders Heilsberg to do an interview. It was about a year ago now, probably, who, for those that don't know, you know, he invented C# and Delphi and TypeScript and
Link,
all these things. And it was kind of funny because we sat down to go through some intro slides we're going to do for this kind of interview thing. And one of the first slides I showed was that TypeScript supports classes. And he goes, oh, that's great, but we got to make sure people know, this is off camera, but we got to make sure people know that you can also do functional programming still. And so I do want to kind of emphasize that classes are optional in this world in TypeScript. They're an ES6, ES2015 feature. They are very cool for certain scenarios, I think. And then if you're a functional programmer, then you may not use classes as much. You know, I don't know. It depends.
Well,
but anyway,
features. Let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah, sure.
Every presentation I've gone to about TypeScript has been targeted at JavaScript programmers.
Yep.
And I think that there's a whole audience out there of C# programmers, object-oriented programmers, who are interested in TypeScript in large measure because it brings many of the features that we really like in an OOP OOP over to the ability to use it in the same places you would use JavaScript. And so you really have two different target audiences there.
Yeah. You know, I was just in Florida last week doing, we ran our first, we have an Angular, a new Angular 2 instructor-led type class, and I was running it there. And I'd say, well, I don't know percentage wise, but a very high percentage of the people that attended, more than 50%, I would say, they were more server side, you know, people, and they're coming from that background of Java. In this case, it was either Java or most of them were .NET, because that's what they do at this company. But, chapter two of this course was TypeScript, and they were like blown away. They're like, oh my gosh, like I actually like this, you know, cause it feels like what you're more comfortable with.
Right.
So yeah, I do think, the migration for those that have been on the server side, let's say, for, you know, years and years and years, maybe either doing Java or ASP.NET, you know, either web forms or MVC or something like that. The move to TypeScript, I'm not going to say it's just, you know, take an hour and you got it, because it's not like that, but is much, much easier if you need to start building some client side type of code. You know, it doesn't have to be Angular. It could be actually anything on the client side. It could be jQuery, for instance, you could use TypeScript with.
One of the things I noticed is that I think it's Visual Studio Code will allow you to open side by side with TypeScript on one side and JavaScript on the other.
Uh-huh.
So if you're a JavaScript programmer, you can see exactly what JavaScript that TypeScript is emitting. And as a C# programmer, the first thing I do is close that window.
Because you're like, I don't give a crap.
Because really, because I, you know, I'm not a JavaScript expert, and I take TypeScript as it is, as a language. If it then transpiles it into JavaScript, you know, bully for it, but I don't really care, because what I care about is writing TypeScript as an object-oriented language. So I don't want to keep hammering this point, but I think over time we're going to see more TypeScript literature that does not assume you are already a JavaScript programmer.
Yep.
But for now, it certainly is talked about in terms of JavaScript. And some of that, I think, is to reassure JavaScript programmers that this won't hurt.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's a superset of JavaScript. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. But I'm with you. I think there's going to be more and more people that are, you know, the OOP background, and definitely going to have to be some literature, as you mentioned, that kind of targets that. Because there's a lot of people, you know, they want to move. They realize the benefits of like SPAs, you know, single page apps. And especially if you're building like line of business apps where there's a lot of screens and, you know, a lot of data loads, you know, I always describe it as, if you want that desktop like feel, but with that web deployment model, then you probably better learn some JavaScript, you know, because now you're going to be making AJAX calls back to the server and, you know, getting the data via JavaScript now. So yeah, TypeScript though can definitely take a lot of pain, I would say, out of the it can lower the learning curve, kind of flatten it out, because a lot of the concepts that OOP folks have done, they do carry over. Now under the covers, again, it's very different because, like I said, inheritance, for example, you know, very, very different in how JavaScript does it versus OOP, but it's still, to a developer, it kind of feels the same, which is pretty cool.
Let's talk about some of the other features. You made reference to a couple of them as you were rattling off the overview of TypeScript. Let's dive just a little bit deeper into what each one is.
Sure. You know, one I know that you'll definitely appreciate, given your background, is interfaces. In C# and Java and pretty much the most of the main modern object-oriented languages, you know, they have this ability to define this code contract where, you know, you're supposed to pass me some person data and, you know, you call it F name, but I really wanted first name. And it's like, you know, you're like, well, how would I know to pass that? And I'm like, go look at my source code. And, you know, in JavaScript, it's so flexible that you can kind of get away with a lot. And then, like you said earlier, once you run it at runtime, that's when you go, oh, shoot, I screwed that up. So what interfaces bring to the table, if you're coming from an OOP background, you're probably used to this, but they provide a way, number one, to drive consistency potentially across the code base. So I can have objects that all have like a start and a stop method, for instance, if I want to drive consistency. But where I find it extremely useful is, we'll go back again, Jesse. Let's say that you need to pass me some data into a function. And let's say that I've made it where you can pass me an object instead of a bunch of parameters. You can just pass me a single object. Well, how do you know in JavaScript what to pass? Because you're not going to generally get much IntelliSense code help there. And so unless the developer, which would be me in this case, that wrote the function, has some good documentation, you're kind of in the dark a little bit about what you're supposed to pass me. Well, with an interface, I could say, hey, you need to pass me an iCustomer, we'll call it. And that iCustomer interface, you know, I for interface here in this case, maybe it says you got to pass me a first name, a last name, and a street. And let's say that you knew this now, but you forgot street, right? You just passed me first name and last name. Well, the TypeScript compiler can let you know right up top here that you screwed up. And that's pretty cool. So it allows us now to basically add either A, consistency across the code base, or B, some checks, some more, I don't want to say rigid because that makes it sound like it's holding you back, but it actually helps you, right? Because now the editor you're working with can, number one, give you good IntelliSense if it supports some of these TypeScript things. And number two, the compiler, the TypeScript compiler will let you know, as I just mentioned, you know, you screwed up. And so that's a huge thing. Now, what's kind of funny here is interfaces are just a, you know, like design time or code time thing in TypeScript. You know, ES5, which right now is what we'll be converting our TypeScript code into, is not going to support, of course, interfaces. Has no idea what that is. So the good news is it doesn't matter. We use it as a kind of a crutch, if you will, at design time, coding time. And then when TypeScript compiles it down to what's going to run actually in the browsers or wherever it runs, then it's just going to strip that stuff out. So yeah, that's one feature. It's really cool.
Do interfaces serve to create a contract between two classes so that as the developer of a client class, I don't have to know the internals of the class I'm interacting with? I can just know that it supports an interface.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can get all those, you know, cool buzzwords like polymorphic behavior and all that fun stuff. Absolutely. It can help drive that. So, you know, the example I always give is, let's say that, you know, you have an employee at a factory and that you just have one though, but big factory, we'll pretend you're making widgets, you know, of course. And, you've realized that you can't hire more. We'll pretend do the economy or whatever. You're going to have to stick with this one employee, but you need to bring in new machines. So you have a contract with the manufacturers of the machines, that you will have, or I won't take shipment, a green start button and a red stop button on every machine. So you have a consistent visual interface, you know, in this case. Well, now as we get new machines into the warehouse or the factory, I guess, the employee doesn't have to be retrained on those, of course, because they just know that hit, you know, green start and red stop, and that's all you need to know. So if I get a machine that comes in with a purple start, then I'm going to have to reject shipment because you didn't satisfy the contract, right? You didn't live up to the visual interface. So yeah, the benefits now of switching that to classes is, for those that are a little newer to this, imagine that each machine is actually now a class with a start and a stop function inside of it. And now we can drive consistency across these classes. And, you know, whether you pass me a machine A or a machine B, I don't really care. I just know I can call start and stop on it. And that's that polymorphic behavior.
That's great. What are some of the other key features of TypeScript?
So generics, another one that C# folks and Java alike actually will really probably appreciate, you know, code templates. If you have a scenario where you have let's go back to just classes like you mentioned, and let's say that you have a simple example is a list of something, right? Because C# folks will recognize this. Sometimes it's a list of integers, sometimes it's a list of numbers, sometimes it's a list of iCustomers, you know, who knows? Well, rather than writing a TypeScript class for each of those data types, we could just write one list, give it this little generic feature, and now I can reuse that for integers, strings, customers, whatever. So very similar to what C# and Java actually offers for giving you these code templates you can reuse.
Okay, well, that's very cool. Are those the major features that folks should be focused on for TypeScript?
Yeah, you know, if you're brand new, what I would do first is just get plain old JavaScript, ES5, loaded up and, you know, see what it generates. And you'll see it pretty much just does nothing because it's normally going to be, you can control what it outputs, by the way. You can do ES3, ES5, or even ES6 now for the compiler. But, you know, I would start by just, I always, in our little, talks and classes and things like that, I always start take an add method and just pass in X and Y. Now decorate X and Y with these types, make them numbers, and then try to pass just a string instead of a number and see what happens. And that's where I would start. Then, once you get that, I think it's a matter of starting to learn the ES6 features. And, you know, there's a whole bunch there we could talk about. Classes are one of those. But interfaces and generics, yeah, those, along with types, are unique to TypeScript. They're not going to be in ES6.
Okay, so TypeScript is also the de facto language for Angular. I know that Angular certainly hasn't declared that, but all of the documentation is in TypeScript and all of the cool kids are using TypeScript. So can you talk a little bit about the relationship between TypeScript and Angular?
Sure. About a year ago from now, the Angular team was originally, I think the plan was they were going to fork TypeScript because they needed what we would, in the C# world, what we would call attributes, metadata. They needed support for that, or wanted support for that, in the next version of Angular, which is Angular 2. So in, C#, we can add the little square brackets. Java calls them annotations, and other languages do similar things. And, we've never had that, JavaScript before. And they were going to call it @script. And so I guess they were going to fork it. And then, the TypeScript team's like, whoa, don't, we don't want you forking our language. And, because obviously that starts to split things and it can mess things up in the long run potentially. But so they worked really closely with the Angular team and pretty much said, and I've heard this firsthand from both teams, that, hey, if it's a feature that we're going to need eventually anyway, as long as you're sticking, in other words, to the standards out there, because TypeScript does stick to the standards, then they were all in favor of it. And so one of those in ES7, which is not even out yet, or you'll hear ES2016, is called decorators. And decorators are very analogous to attributes or annotations. Annotations and decorators actually have a little bit of a different terminology in the JavaScript world, so I don't want to confuse that. But just for now, we'll say it's metadata. So long story short, they got the TypeScript team involved very heavily with adding some of these features they wanted. So they didn't fork the language, which is a good thing, I think. And the Angular team at that point said, cool, well, we're going to build the framework in TypeScript, which I think was a genius move. It's kind of funny. I mentioned this, I don't know if we were talking, Jesse, when we were at ng-conf, or I mentioned to someone there, there's a guy that writes a library. I think it's called I don't know how you say it. It's like cyclic or cyclic JS or something like that. And he did a post about how, which was a little bit surprising because he's not, I don't believe he has any association with, TypeScript or anything like that that I had ever heard of. And he did a post that said every library and framework out there should be written in TypeScript. Of course, he got a lot of flack for that, by the way. And his rationale, though, was absolutely spot on. It was all the things we've been talking about. You can get better design time or code time support. You can get better editor support as people work with your library or framework. And so anyway, I think that this is just Dan Wallin speaking, so take it for what it's worth. But I think it was a genius move on the part of the Angular team. Because, think about it. Wouldn't you rather catch these things up front? Wouldn't you rather drive consistency across your framework with interfaces? Wouldn't you rather have it so that when you and I use their framework, that we get great code help as we type? And, of course they want all that. So, it's built on TypeScript. It's not the only option. You still can write ES5. You can do ES6 with Babel. That'd be the transpiler in that case, more than likely, and TypeScript. And like you said, all the initial docs are being written in TypeScript. After all, the framework itself is written in TypeScript, so that makes sense, I think. But I know they are working on Ward. Wardwell, his team is working on getting some ES5 and ES6 docs as well. But I think they just want to get it all nailed, pretty solid first with TypeScript. Then they'll just reverse engineer some of that code to ES5 and ES6 as needed. But really cool, I think, that they're building on TypeScript.
It was very clear at ng-conf that you and John Papa and Ward Bell have had a huge contribution to Angular 2. And Ward, as I understand, has overall responsibility for the documentation.
Yep.
And John wrote one of the tutorials and also the style guide.
Yep.
So it made ng-conf a tremendously valuable experience. And one of the things that ran through it as a thread was TypeScript. In fact, you gave a significant talk on TypeScript.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, what did I call that thing? TypeScript Angular 2 Secret Weapon. And
are those talks available? Are they posted?
Yeah, those are all up on you can go to ng-conf.org. But if you go to YouTube and just find the ng-conf channel, yeah, the ones in the big room that you, since you were there, those were all recorded. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be putting, hopefully in the next day or two, a direct link, blog.codewithdan.com is my brand new blog domain. Nobody can spell my last name, Jesse. I don't know why that is, but I gave up.
I can't even pronounce your last name.
You said it right, but nobody else does. You, John Ward, anyone that knows me does, but that's about it. So I finally gave up. My wife one day goes, you know, why are you fighting the system? Nobody can spell it, because at Walling Consulting is what we've always done. And she goes, why don't you just call it Code with Dan? And I go, okay, yeah, I think people can spell that. So that's what it's going to be now. It's brand new, actually.
We'll put a link to your site, and if we can put it together, we'll put a link to your video as well on the code notes
cool.
of the show.
Cool. Yeah, reason I thought to bring that up, I've been meaning over the last week here to get a post up that links directly to the video, so...
Before I let you go, I want to take on one controversy. We talked about the advantages of type safety, and I'm a huge believer in type safety. But I remember talking to JavaScript programmers at least some years ago, and they loved the fact that it was not typed, that they could, you know, have a variable that held a number, and then under some other circumstances later in the program, switch it to be a string. And to me, that was a recipe for both broken code and also impenetrable. Difficult to read and maintain.
Yeah. And maintenance, maybe?
I'm sorry?
I said some good maintenance, you're saying? You like maintainable code, Jesse? Come on.
What can I tell you? I have my failings. So it does seem like TypeScript is the community moving to the idea of giving up a little of that flexibility in exchange for developing more quickly and maintaining more effectively. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would say it really depends on the individual developer and the team and the company. The beauty of TypeScript, though, is if you had a scenario where you don't want types for whatever reason, you just want to be able to pass anything, you know, you can still do that. Either A, you just don't decorate the – I keep saying decorate. I need to stop saying that because that gives a different meaning nowadays. You add a type like number, then, yeah, it is going to lock it down to number. But if you don't put number, it defaults under the covers to something called any. And any is kind of what you would think, right? It's you can pass me anything you want. So what I really love about TypeScript is a lot of these features we've been talking about, interfaces, generics, classes, type support, like you just mentioned, this kind of controversy, if you will. You don't have to use those features and you'll still get benefits of the language. I'll give you one quick example. If you were to do some type of a calculation, like a multiplication, and you pass in two strings, then in JavaScript, as you've already mentioned, Jesse, you know, when's it going to catch that at runtime? Well, with TypeScript, it can actually catch some of those things up front. So even if I don't use type support, which I'm with you, I like it. I think it's a great thing to have, especially in these apps that we have multiple team members, or it just needs good maintainable code, which who doesn't want that? I guess the alternate there, or alternate answer there, Jesse, is if you're looking for the ultimate in job security, don't do any of this, right? Make your code as messy as possible. Nobody can then fix it except for you. But, you know, nobody does that, hopefully. So getting back to what I was saying, the types are optional. And that's what's so cool about it. You're not forced down one road. You know, you hate interfaces? Great. Don't use interfaces. You don't have a need for generics? Great. Don't use generics. You want to use types in part of the app, but in another part, you want it just as flexible as regular good old JavaScript. Great. Do it. You can do that. And that's what's so cool about it, is I don't feel limited. I don't feel restricted. I can have my cake and eat it too, I guess you could say.
Okay, let's talk before we finish about where folks can learn about TypeScript and where they can learn how to program with TypeScript.
Yep. Well, a shameless self-plug, I guess, will be John Papa and I have a course up on Pluralsight. So if people have a Pluralsight subscription, we have a TypeScript fundamentals course that'll walk you through all pretty much all the key fundamentals that you need to know.
It's a great course, by the way. I watched that course.
Terrific. Thank you. Coming from you, that means a lot because you have a lot of great ones there as well. You know, other than that, what I like to do, in fact, I literally almost pulled up a tab in my browser, Jesse, like anybody could see it, right? Because I was going to say, what I like to do, let me show you, is go to, if you go to TypeScriptLang, LANG.org, they have not only the documentation there, but they also have a TypeScript playground, it's called. So if you go to TypeScriptLang.org, you can click on playground. I always show this in talks and classes and stuff like that. And what it does is what you said earlier, it'll let you, they have a drop down and you can pull up some TypeScript kind of pre-canned examples if you want on the left side of the page. And then on the right side of the page, it'll show you the output of that, the ES5 code, basically what the compiler is generating. And I think that's actually a great way to just go play around. I mean, there's no editor involved. There's no setup. You don't have to worry about how do I compile this from TypeScript down to, you know, ES5. It just does all for you online in the browser. And so that's what I would say for people that are already pretty comfortable with JavaScript. I would go there, you know, pick one of the items from the dropdown and kind of play around a little bit, because I think you'll find that there's just a few key fundamentals on the type part to learn. I mean, we could show that in 20 seconds. You know, the type part's actually very straightforward. Now, of course, there's all these other features in ES6, you know, like classes and destructuring and on and on and on that you'd have to learn that TypeScript supports. But that's a great way to start, I think, if you just want to play around. If you are an Angular 2 developer, they don't really have a TypeScript tutorial, but you mentioned John did a really, really nice job on, it's called Tour of Heroes. And he wrote through, it's a real simple app, but it uses TypeScript and Angular 2 to build a kind of mini spa, a simple spa, just enough that you feel dangerous. And I would walk through that, because then you'll actually see TypeScript in the context of like, hey, we're using it for real, you know? Because there's just so many cool things that we didn't go into, and I know we probably don't have time, modules, and there's these features like modules that aren't in ES5 that are in TypeScript that I'll tell you, once you get the hang of it and have one of those, what I call light bulb moments, where you go, aha, this is freaking awesome. That's where you'll see extreme value in learning these ES6 concepts. And then my take on it is, if you're going to learn ES6, which I highly recommend, everybody should be learning this now, in my opinion, you might as well just make the jump to TypeScript, because then you get all these other cool features on top of that we've been talking about. So it's not that much more of a jump, and you're going to get the option to use types and interfaces and generics and so on and so forth.